Next up is the time to scrap the BBC licence fee. Do you think you get value for money? We were talking about this on last night's TV show. This week, one of the BBC's top brass, the BBC Director General, Tony Hall, came out fighting.
The BBC is the place where the nation can come together, the daily companion and a vital connection to the world, where we celebrate together, share moments of crisis, because the BBC exists not only to enhance individual lives, but also to enhance our collective and national life. I believe we need and will need what the licence fee, in whatever form, makes happen more than ever. In fact, I'm going to argue further and say that if we didn't have a BBC funded by a licence fee, such is the world we face, we'd have to invent it.
Right, so we continue the discussion this morning. Back with the commentator, Seamus Close. Morning to you again, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. And fresh from last night, Charlie Wolfe. Good morning, Charlie.
That was 3 minutes of television last night.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted from
it. Was actually 6 minutes and 37 seconds, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Right, so the BBC ain't broke. Don't break it, Charlie.
Well, actually, the BBC is broke in the sense that it's a bit out of date. Now, listen. There's nothing wrong with the BBC in the sense of the programming it does. It is a jewel in the crown. This place in particular, you know, just listening to your last conversation, how you do that 5 days a week is beyond me. But the thing is, it is no longer a monopoly. The license fee was set up when the BBC was founded, what, 150,000 years ago. And you had one station, and if Joe on one street was paying for it, how do you prevent Mary from getting a hold of this service if she's not paying for it? Those days are gone. We're multi-level, multifaceted broadcasting, and there are easier ways of doing this. I mean, what really got to me was when Tony Hall came out, and we were, you know, doing the papers on that other radio show last week, and the headline was in the Daily Mail, license fee to be replaced by something now easier. Easier for whom? It's easier for the BBC. Well, that's not how the market works. You know, it's like saying at Tesco, well, we don't like the cost of making change, so we'll round everything up to a fiver.
So the proposal, one of the proposals being put on the table is that the licence fee is that there would be a levy on each individual house, Seamus, whether they have a TV or not, that every household would pay for the BBC, Seamus. And,
yeah,
and you're going to tell them it's good value for money.
Well,
at £2.80 a week, 144 odd quid.
There is absolutely no question. I think no one's going to argue that it is anything but good value for money.
Plenty of people would.
Sorry?
Plenty of people would argue
No,
that.
I don't think so. 40 pence a day. 40 pence a day. And for 40 pence a day, what are you getting? You're getting, I think it's about 8 network TV channels. You're getting about 10 national radio services. And you're getting local. And I stress that you're getting local radio stations. The purpose of the BBC is to educate people, it's to inform people, and it's to entertain people on all those three criteria.
Fine. Can't be done on a commercial station.
So let people pay for it if they want it, and don't force them to pay people like me.
What it has got to do is there's also got to be investment in new programmes to develop that. And when you look at what the BBC has been doing over this past 70 years by way of television, they have been extremely successful in that. You take some of their programmes, which you wouldn't get if it was just down to commercial advertising. For example, Top Gear is bringing in how many hundreds of millions of pounds?
You're serious?
Good point, but that's a good point.
You're telling me Top Gear couldn't survive in the public sector or the private sector?
I'm giving that as an example of a return on an investment. But let's move to what you were saying about charging everyone for it by way of, let's call it a universal tax. Let's not run away from that. That currently operates, as I understand it, in Germany. Now, I have always, all my life, believed in efficiency. And if the universal tax is going to make the BBC more efficient,
there's a principle, Seamus.
Let's go for it. They're currently paying something like, I think it's over £100 million on chasing people.
Let's give Charlie a chance.
You know, but that's the main problem. It's efficiency for whom? For the BBC, the government? That's not how it works in a free society.
Hold on, Seamus.
You can't compel somebody to buy a product or service that they may or may not want. as wonderful as the BBC is. Now, for instance, I just did a little
bit
of math.
So you don't believe in the NHS then, the principle of funding the NHS?
I'd rather not myself on that, but that's a whole different kettle of fish. You know, at least the BBC can be, for the most part, replicated within the commercial sector. Now, I did a little bit of math. I pay, I think it's £36 a month for Sky. That works out to £400 a year. I willingly do that. There's no reason why the BBC can't do something where, I mean, it's, what is it, £145
yeah.
a year now?
Yeah.
I don't know what that works out to a month. What is it, a 10 or 12
it's
pound?
It's £2.80 a week.
Good. So why can't you do it the same way, Sky, is, you know, I get a box, I get a little card, and that way that's efficient.
Because
you don't have to worry about license fees and all of that. And that way, if I want, like, for instance, now last night on the TV program, you showed me all these different services the BBC are providing. I may not want those. I don't need CBeebies. Why should I pay for CBeebies? But if I want to take the movie channels, I want to take the news channels and the things that I like about the BBC, give me the option, give me consumer choice.
Okay, go on, Seamus.
It's involved and it's concerned with the public and the public use, public benefit. You also, Charlie, have already suggested that you don't need the health service, but the health service is there for the greater good. You might need a children's playground in the town or the city or wherever you live, but we provide for that through our rates. I argue that the same benefits that accrue to society through rates and through general taxation is also available through the BBC licence fee. I'm prepared to call it a tax. I accept that, but because you're spreading it over such a wide spectrum of people, namely throughout the United Kingdom, you're getting better value for money because each individual is paying less. We're not
paying the hundreds of pounds. But when there's that guaranteed, there is that guaranteed money, Seamus Close, does that not encourage inefficiency within the BBC? The number of managers in the BBC, level of management in the BBC compared... I've worked in the commercial sector, right?
Yep.
And I've worked in the BBC. There is absolutely no doubt that there are many, many tiers of management within the BBC.
You got five guys in that other room. I told them I'd fire half of them.
Well, I'd fire one of them, I agree. But there are many, many layers of management in the BBC, Seamus Close, that simply would not survive in the commercial sector. Why? Because the commercial sector's got to fight for every penny it brings in and every penny it spends.
What, are you telling me that all the commercial stations are more efficient? More effective,
but it's not. But it's not my money.
I'm telling you, they have to be more efficient, or they don't survive. The BBC doesn't because it's got guaranteed money.
Yes, but they are already taking steps to ensure and to improve their efficiency. Speak to anyone within the BBC, and you will get that information coming through.
The BBC to turn it on you, Charlie Wolfe. The BBC would point out that they have reduced the number of senior managers by one third.
That's fine, but here's another problem. For instance, I didn't know this until I was reading it the other day. When Doctor Who came on in 1989, as wildly successful as it was, Michael Gray decided, I don't like this show. There's no commercial constraints on me. I'll get rid of it. Now, if this had been Fox Television or something where you had something that is a major money spinner and a major hit, Michael Gray would have been out the door for that. You know, it's a bunch of guys sitting in an ivory tower, and for the most part, they make good decisions. I'm not faulting them, but it's not up to what the public necessarily wants. It's not up to commercial considerations. It's up to some guy that I didn't pay for, I didn't elect, and he's making these decisions.
Well, there's research in commercial television, too.
Yeah, but again, they're working for either Rupert Murdoch or NBC or ABC or ITV or whatever, and it's dependent on what the shareholders want. You know,
yes,
the people that got skin in the game.
For the people, Charlie. It's the people who are paying it. It's not government. It is not commercial. It is the people. And you can't get more democratic accountability than through the people, and that is taken through
the charter. But it's not, unfortunately. For instance, my friend Bishop Lowe used this the other Sunday. You know, he said, oh, it's totally independent, totally. But no, actually what it means is it's a law unto itself. Now, again, for the most part,
Trust? The BBC is held accountable by trustees.
Yeah, but I'm talking on things like programming decisions, etc., what channels they put on. And again, why do I need to fund Radio 1, Radio 2. You know, now, listen, I'm not saying we look at this with a sweeping brush, but I think we have to look at this in the whole and say, what is the role of the BBC? Now, BBC News, yes, fantastic. BBC World Service, beyond compare. But, you know, this place, yeah, I think it super serves this area in a way no others can. But do we need, for instance, daytime television like Pointless? Or some of the game shows that I'm stuck watching when I'm home during the day doing my work. I don't know, why am I funding that?
Yeah, can I reverse that and put that question back to Charlie? He has already admitted about the benefits of the BBC through the various programmes that he has mentioned there. Can I ask him a question?
Mm.
Does he believe that those programmes would exist if it was dependent upon commercial radio or television?
For the most part, yes, but then you're right. There are some considerations where things would be underserved by the market. And again, there is a place, maybe for a very small levy, but I just don't think we need this unwielding BBC that I'm paying £145 a year for. And again, not just that. I mean, whether I want it or not, I mean, this new proposal is pretty scary. Whether I have a television or not, whether I want it or not, I'm being forced to pay for something. And again, government should not be able to compel someone to buy something.
So at least at the moment, Seamus Close, if you don't want to pay the BBC licence fee, then you don't put a television or a recording of a device of a similar nature into your home.
Right.
And yet the BBC is supporting a notion that whether you have a TV in your house or not, you still get charged.
Yes, and part of the reason for that is to widen the pool because there are a number, believe it or not.
Hey, Sainsbury's would like to do the same thing.
So Tesco's. There are a number who avoid paying the television licence fee illegally. And I think the BBC are losing something like £250 million because of that. They're also spending over £100 million in trying to catch those people for evasion. So there's over £300 million that is being lost out by those who aren't paying the licence fee. If it were more universal, then you would have a greater pool, and the cost per person, the efficiency, the effectiveness of the BBC
would
be enhanced.
No, it would, because when you get guaranteed money, it does just the opposite.
Sorry?
When you get guaranteed income, it essentially does just the opposite. But again, you're looking at it from the standpoint of a politician, you know, and politicians it don't work in the market. So we need to do a program. Okay, we'll raise a tax. But this is still it's in a sort of a no man's land. It's not quite commercial. It's not quite public service. But, you know, it's like saying, for instance, stores on the high street have to deal with people shoplifting. So, you know, again, my local supermarket says, I know how I'll solve this. If I were a government, I would just say anybody who comes into my store, whether they buy something or not, they're paying £5 when they come in through the door.
No, but anybody who goes into the supermarket is paying so much because of pilfering. That is a fact.
Okay.
That's a fact in the business.
Stay there, guys. We're going to run with this until 10. Then we've got the Education Minister, John O'Dowd, straight after the 10 o'clock news, talking about these proposals to cut 1,500 jobs from his department. So Minister O'Dowd on the programme straight after 10 this morning. No point just talking about the BBC without talking to you, of course, as you're listening to the programme this morning. What do you think of the BBC? Do you think the BBC is value for money? When you get that bill every year of 140 odd quid, do you think the BBC is worth it? Here's another point. Do you think the BBC represents you? Do you think the BBC has got programmes that you want to watch? Are the days gone when the BBC was a stuffy organisation? Do you think it's actually relating to you, connecting with you, trying hard to super serve you? 08459 555 678. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, the BBC now has lost the moral high ground. They're now saying that every home, they're trying to push these, that every home has to pay for a TV licence. And if they don't, they'll be used anti-terrorism legislation to track them down, take them to court, find them, and possibly...
I don't know where you're getting the anti-terrorism legislation from.
That's what they use to catch licence fee dodgers, anti-terrorism legislation.
Do you think the BBC's value for money, John?
No, I do not, because all you get is nothing but repeat after repeat after repeat, especially at Christmas times. So where's the money being spent on? It's not being spent on programmes, it's being spent on wages.
What do you think, for example... Let's talk about close to home. What do you think of Radio Ulster?
Radio Ulster? Yes, I would pay for Radio Ulster.
Would you like the choice to pay for it, or do you think everybody should contribute?
I would like the choice to pay for Radio Ulster. I have the choice to pay for Sky or Virgin. I have the choice either to pay for any of those two media outlets.
But it's 40p a day for everything in the BBC. You think of the breadth of service that you're getting. And if I just start to roll these off the top of my head, right? So that 40p a day, right? BBC Radio 1, BBC Radio 2, BBC Radio 3, BBC Radio 4, BBC Radio 5 Live, who I work for, BBC 1 Television, BBC 2 Television, BBC 3 Online, BBC 4 making those wonderful documentaries, the BBC World Service, then look at individual programmes, Spotlight, an award-winning RTS, Current Affairs Investigative Programme here in Northern Ireland, similar programmes across the UK, Panorama, Match of the Day, EastEnders, Top Gear, Doctor Who, 40p a day.
I'll bounce it back to you then. I'll bounce this one back to you. Anyone who's in Job Seekers Allowance for over a year has to spend the equivalent of 3 weeks' money to pay for a TV licence. So that's 3 weeks without food, paying for electric, paying for heating, anything, to pay for the licence fee. Is that right?
It's a really good question. Malachy in Belfast. Morning, Malachy.
But we won't hit that flipping nail on the head there, that one. I don't hear you coming back, Wavin, Stevie boy.
Coming back on what?
I just like to say, you talked, but you rhymed off about all the great programmes the BBC do. I mean, I think the BBC are not value for money. I think it's outdated. I think it's been superpassed by
you're,
all the...
You're on it often enough.
Oh, well, I'm on your show. Now, let's nail it down to you and put this to bed. If you were to go out to an independent broadcasting organisation, they would probably pay you more money than the BBC because, let's just say, as the advert for the shampoo goes, you're worth it. But your colleagues underneath you, I would say 90% of them wouldn't get a job browsing the streets because some of the programmes, some of the presenters are horrendously bad.
Well, that's Vinny clearly you're talking about.
Who employs these people? And then you've got Lord Yogi Bear and your Donald Duck who get absolute millions of pounds to oversee this. I don't get it at all because it's really atrocious. Most, I'd say 80% of the programmes on the BBC are absolutely atrocious.
Well, come on. Seamus Close?
They are, Stephen.
Well,
they are.
I'm afraid the figures.
Presenters are horrendous. Hold on.
Radio Ulster is one of the most successful. It is actually a jewel in the BBC's crown across the UK. Anywhere I go, and I'm telling you now, Malachy, I'm not just saying this because I work for them, right?
Okay.
Anywhere I go when I'm working in England, BBC Radio Ulster is recognised as being a special station. And indeed, there are stations elsewhere throughout the UK that are trying to find whatever the magic dust is that creates this special entity, which is BBC Radio Ulster. I'm telling you.
Well, I listen to quite a lot of radio, more so on TV. Most of the BBC shows are just terrible. But, you know, some of the presenters on BBC, if they were to go to the independent radio shows, they wouldn't get a job.
When you start evaluating presenters, by the way, it's all so subjective, isn't it? Mm. It really is.
But Stephen, here's an interesting argument. You reeled off all of these different programs, and they are fantastic programs. And why is it I am willing to pay £36 a month for Sky, and you're telling me that £145, where it stands now, that's what, a 10 or 11, 12 pounds a month. You couldn't get someone, when you list that amount of shows, to buy those things and maybe do some of it as premium service. Say, okay, you want say there's a Match of the Day or Top Gear, pay a little extra. People would do it. You'd get better funded than you are now. You know, basically what you're doing is you're using a system that was from the 1930s and applying it to today. And it's not just about funding. It's looking at where it stands in the whole media landscape of today, which has changed. And if you don't grow, you die, as my old manager used to say.
I would rather have the people choosing and the people paying for a product rather than commercial, something being shoved down your throat because it's commercially more viable.
But they're not choosing. They're going to be compelled. They're going to be compelled, whether they have a TV set or not, to pay $145 or whatever the sum is. So there is no choice.
No, but that's to improve efficiency. I've already dealt with that. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the BBC on television have been operating for, what is it, some 70 years. Now, nobody can deny that over that 70 years, they have built up a certain amount of experience and a
certain
amount of ability.
So has ABC, NBC, CBS.
And competence to do it and to carry it out. We're talking about here, people aren't going to pay for CBS.
By the way, the BBC say every £1 spent through the licence fee produces £2 of value, they say. It creates £8 billion of economic value.
Well, then sell it as shares. When I spent 145 a year, give me shares, and as you make profit, give me a dividend.
Here's Ian in White Abbey. Morning, Ian.
Investing in new programs, Charlie.
Go on, Ian.
Good morning, Stephen. I've listened to but my daughter, who was over in Boston one time, mm-hmm. Dallas. This program, Dallas. This program was presented. So, and then the next thing, Larry Hagman. This is for advert. She said in a half an hour it was taken up with adverts.
Yeah.
But I've had friends from Australia, friends from Canada, friends from the USA, and they envy the BBC.
Okay, Ian, thank you. Robert, next morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen. Great program last night, Stephen.
Did you like it?
Very justifiable for paying the TV license is one example.
Well, I think Nolan Live should be on every night of the week.
now you're talking, and Stormont League and Spotlight and Quest and Time, all them is big justifications for paying your TV license. What I would like to say that maybe the BBC need to make a few changes is anybody that's unemployed or on sickness benefit shouldn't pay a TV license. And anybody that earns 35k a year, the TV license should be put up to £200 for them.
Well, there's interesting territory, isn't
it? I got a better one. How many people watched your program last night, South of the Border?
I have no idea.
I bet it's quite a lot.
I
bet you it's quite a lot.
I'm sure it probably is, yeah.
Yeah. Why am I paying for them to watch our television?
Stop asking difficult questions, Charlie. Nicola, good morning, Nicola. Good morning, Nicola. Nicola's fallen asleep. Philip and Ballymena, good morning, Philip.
Oh, good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Terrible, thank you.
I was listening to your program there about the discussion on the BBC.
Yes.
Well, I moved up here to Ballymena just over 3 years ago from Sligo, the south of Ireland. And I think that the BBC is very good value for the money that's been charged for the licence at the moment.
Beats RTE, I'll tell you that much.
Pardon?
It beats RTE, having lived down
in
the Republic.
Well, in one way, yes, I would agree there. There's some very good programmes.
But to a certain extent, Philip, and I know, I'm happy to get into the quality of programmes to be, if that's what you all want to talk about, but to a certain extent, that's a red herring. There's no one suggesting the BBC should cease to exist. The question is, how should it be funded?
Well, they could increase the licence for a start. And people, there was a man on there speaking about people who are on the DLA and on unemployment benefits and that type of thing, that they should have a special yearly licence for them.
Philip, thank you. Samuel in Isburn. Morning, Samuel.
Good morning, Stephen.
Very quickly, please.
Yeah, Stephen, I listen a lot to the radio, Radio 4, Radio 4 Extra, and it used to be good with good players and stuff on. Now it's a load of rubbish.
Well, you see, you should switch over to 5 Live. Charlie and I are on...
Well, I was going to say, there are many examples
5
of
Live
great...
on a Sunday
there's,
night.
There's great, many examples of great programming on the BBC. Now, take this show on 5 Live, midnight on a Sunday night. Now, that's not one of those examples.
Norman and Bangor. Morning, Norman.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I listen to the radio a lot. It's costing me £145 a year to listen to the radio. There is people who don't pay and won't pay, so I'm paying for them. And it's time the BBC either went down the road of advertising or pay-per-view.
Okay, final word.
Don't mind paying for programmes that I watch.
What's your favourite programme on the BBC, Norman?
Eh?
What's your favourite programme on the BBC?
Your show.
Ah, that's the right answer. Seamus, 30 seconds each. First, Seamus, go ahead. Closing thoughts.
Right. 96% of the people in the UK follow and watch or listen to the BBC. Their services are used by 140 million people a day. They must be doing something right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Charming. And if they're doing something right, it's very easy, like Sky, to sell subscriptions because, again, no government or institution has the right to compel someone to buy a product they may not want. Simple as that.
Okay. Seamus, thank you very much. Charlie, see you Sunday night.
Yeah, it's great to be here
with
you.
On 5 Live, of course. I'm on 5 Live on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Charlie does the papers with us every Sunday night from midnight until 1, along with the Bishop. Wasn't going to mention the Bishop. I was going to leave him out deliberately.
Oh, Charlie.